IT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration Services. Their number is 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200 or HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. And now that we are KLYT and we're all the way up in Santa Fe and all around the Albuquerque metro, I want to let everybody know about the only place they, I don't think, will do a lot of business is down in Las Cruces, but Bosque is kind of everywhere up here surrounding the immediate Albuquerque metro area. So I want to make sure everybody knows that. Welcome to studio, Kevin and Jen Miller to ABQ Connect. They visited with us before. Kevin is an assistant pastor at Calvary Church, and Jen serves on the worship team and has recorded some neat music. So we're going to talk to you guys about marriage.
That's right.
And we were having so much fun. I wish I could record the things that we talk about off the air.
The pre-show.
Right. Yeah, because it's so funny. But you guys have been married. You served in ministry together. You planted a church out in Tennessee, which I want you to remind us about all of those. Mm. I'm sure that's all part of the journey. And you have how many children?
Three. And you said we have been married, which is true. And we are still married,
which is also true. Amen. Amen. And I think that's really extra special because, you know, marriages today, one minute you'll see somebody smiling, and the next minute you see them walking with their head down. And I just mentioned to you that I went to a restaurant this past weekend, and I see a couple sitting there. One's reading a cell phone, the other one's reading a newspaper, and they don't say a word to each other the entire time they're sitting there.
Yeah.
And I'm not judging. I'm literally, my heart's aching for them because I'm divorced. I never thought I would be divorced. Being divorced and going through that process was awful.
Mm.
So I want to have a chance for our listeners to listen to a married couple, just a normal couple. I mean, you guys are dealing with life like everybody else.
Yep.
So, Kevin, I'm going to start with, how did you meet Jen?
Man, that's a fun story. I was on summer staff at a summer camp here in New Mexico called Lone Tree Bible Ranch. Mm-hmm. And I went there as a camper for years, eventually went back on staff the summer right out of high school. And so I was on staff, and it was one of the last weeks of summer camp, and Jen came as a middle school leader.
Mm-hmm.
So we were both, what, 18 at the time?
Yeah.
And so she came, and we both, looking back on that, on those days.
By the way, I am glad that she wasn't in middle school.
Right. I want to clarify. Yeah. She was a leader. That's why I said the age, because I didn't want there to be any room for any other stories to come from this. There was no scandal. There was just me, an adult, noticing her as an adult.
There we go.
And so 18-year-olds, we just, you know, it was summer camp. We weren't planning on pursuing anything.
Not
we just,
all.
I think, mutually noticed each other. And the way she really caught my eye, she caught my ear first. So if you know Jen, you've mentioned she's recorded some music.
Yes.
She's an incredible singer. So she came not only as a leader, but part of the worship team. And so their band or their group had just rolled into camp. And so the worship team went up to the gymnasium to start practice and run through. And I remember starting to walk down the dirt road, and I heard this angelic voice. And I was like, that's not from our staff. I'm going to need to figure out who belongs to that voice. And so I went to the gym, and to my great pleasure, her looks even outshined her voice. And I thought, I'm going to need to get to know that girl. So that was how we met. And it took a few months for us to kind of get to know each other a little bit. Mm-hmm. But as they would say, it's all history from there.
What's neat, though, is it sounds like you're both serving in ministry when you're 18 years old. That's kind of unusual.
It is. Yep.
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
You were since you were 13.
Well, 15. I became a leader in our middle school youth group. And
leading worship?
Leading worship at 13. Yeah, definitely. But, yeah.
So, Jen, at that time of life, I mean, you're obviously serving and you're working with kids and everything else. Were you having conversations with God about dating? Was that something you were interested in?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was 18. I had never dated anyone. I had a good friend in high school who was a guy who we never dated, but I would say he was my best friend. And for a while, I thought maybe we would get married, but eventually God shifted my heart, and I knew that that was not the road that I would take. And that, in fact, what I remember about that week of meeting Kevin was that weekend. I'm sure I have my journal somewhere, but I remember writing down, like, God, I don't even care about a relationship or marriage. I just want you. Like, it was one of those summer camp highs, you know, at 18 of just like, yes, I don't even care. And then that first day of camp when we were rehearsing, I can remember the moment Kevin Miller stuck his head in the gym. I didn't know
shaggy
he was coming.
Hair.
Yes, shaggy hair. I didn't know he was coming to see who was singing, but I remember him sticking his head in the gym, and immediately the first thought I had was, I need to know him. I need to know him, which was like, no. I just remember when I told God I did. I don't need a relationship.
Scratch that out of my journal,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. But, man, God used that week to, like, very quickly confirm in my heart that Kevin was something special. He didn't know it, but God was confirming in my heart that Kevin was something special. And I had prayed about it for a long time. I wasn't really interested in dating middle school, high school. I prayed that I would only date my husband. That was like a big prayer of mine. My sister had read a book and it talked about how she didn't want to kiss anyone till her wedding day. And I at first was like, you are out of your mind. That's crazy. But actually I felt the same way. I just didn't want to tell my sister that, you know, give her credit for that. But, it happened. Kevin and I ended up dating Kevin, and that was it. God allowed me to only date my husband. And that was, an answer to prayer. And something I don't regret to this day, that I only have history with Kevin Miller.
Yeah. Mm. Kevin, I want to ask you about maybe even offering a challenge to men.
Sure.
Because I think there's a lot of people contemplating dating right now. They really want to date. They maybe never have had a serious relationship. But their motivations and things may not be in line with what God might want. Mm. So offer a challenge to them.
Yeah, sure. I one thing that we train our kids with is just the reality that dating is preparation for marriage. And so I think a lot of times in our American culture, dating turns into just like the social thing that you do. Every guy has to have a girl on his side. And I just don't see that as a healthy biblical model, because when I look at what the Bible says about marriage, it says that marriage is a picture of Christ in the church, Ephesians chapter 5. And so if the model of marriage is about us preaching the gospel through our relationship, then it seems that it would only make sense for dating to be preparation for that picture of Christ in the church. And so we train our kids with, you know, it's not that they won't date multiple people, but we want them to be intentional with those relationships and not just do it because they're friends. Well, all my friends have a boyfriend, so why shouldn't I have a boyfriend? Well, that's a bad reason to have a boyfriend. So I think for young men especially, Ephesians 5:29 talks this whole passage about marriage. But verse 29 says that the role of the husband in marriage is to nourish and cherish his wife. And so I believe that that same thing carries into a dating relationship. Nourish and cherish, meaning protect, care for, treat them well, honor them. And I think when we approach dating with our American culture, it's pretty much all the opposite. It's get what I want, look better, status symbol, feel good, peer pressure. And so that's a dangerous mindset to get into, because it's skewing, from my perspective, it seems to be skewing the whole purpose of that relationship to begin with.
So I'm going
to
get myself in trouble bringing this up, but I have three daughters that like to watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Uh-huh.
Now, I make fun of them.
Uh-huh.
I literally, I'm like, oh, this lady's going to kiss one guy, and 5 minutes later, she's going to kiss somebody else. And that kind of bothers me. But here's the really embarrassing part. So I'm sitting down the other night, and they're visiting, and I usually try to go read or do something productive, but I found myself watching it. And I'm 5 minutes into it going, God is telling me that this is like a useless waste of time. Why are you sitting here? Now, look, you may be listening to this radio show, and you might like this, and this might be entertaining. The problem I have is I don't want to be legalistic, but they're – an imbalance is created. Mm. An image is created in your mind, especially I worry about my daughters because they have this perception of romance and passion and all of these different things that I think is so much greater. I don't know, and they're going to be mad at me that I say this, but they put this out on Facebook, and I thought it was really a blessing. I don't know if you know Lisa or Danny Andazola. So they've been part of our church for a really long time. Mm. Lisa put out a list of things that her and Danny did while they were dating.
Mm.
That list did not include making out. Mm. It included praying together and going to church together and being together with family events, both families, you know, just all this really cool stuff. And they didn't approach it from a legalistic perspective, but they wanted, as you prayed, they wanted to have a bond just with each other.
Mm.
They did not, either one of them, want to have shared anything with anyone else.
Yeah.
That was on their heart. God had put that on their heart, and that's what they did, and they've been married for 30 plus years. So wow. I thought that was a really cool testimony.
Yeah.
I've tried to talk them to get on, but Lisa's really shy. Danny's not
shy.
Come on,
shy. Lisa.
Yeah. That's what I keep telling them. So Kevin, men want some things, especially when you start watching things like The Bachelor and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
The motivations and the intentions, at least it's my opinion, are not just to have a relationship that God puts together for you for the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting, too, that you're asking me about that because I've been on both sides. So Jen and I have been married for 17 years. November will be 18. We have three kids. But I've been on both sides, the selfish side of dating and the God-honoring side of dating. And so I've seen both. I've felt both. I've seen the heartache and the pain on the one side and the joy and the sacrifice on the other. And I can just speak from experience when I say it's worth honoring God and honoring the person you're dating in that relationship. It is. It's very challenging in our American culture to not allow it to become a status symbol or something that you pursue purely for your own pleasure. But I've been down that road, and I can say, you know, since God is the one who created marriage and sex, then it would only make sense that he's the one who gets to put the guardrails up and give us the guidebook. And he knows what he's talking about. And it turns out that the reason he gives rules is not because he wants to make our life hard. It's because he wants to make our life better. And it's living within those guardrails and those boundaries mm-hmm. that the real joy is found,
right.
That pursuing it through a guy or a girl will never, it'll never get there.
Right.
You use the sex word, which is really important, because sometimes people are embarrassed to talk about that. Mm. But I don't know a person, regardless of their perspective entering into a relationship, that 15 years down the road will say, yeah, our relationship is sexually more intimate.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Now, the Christians I know, the people that really dedicated their relationship to God, they have a different perspective on that.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah.
It is more intimate. It's more, I mean, there's a lot. So we have a lot more to talk about. I have Kevin and Jen Miller in studio today. We're talking about being married, and I'm excited to talk about it. Even a guy like me who has been divorced and may have hopes of maybe God put something together for me someday. But more than anything, I just want to see young couples. I want to see my children that are not married.
I want to see my kids that are married blessed and dedicated and committed to the Lord and see God bless their marriages. But I also want to see my daughters that are not married. And my son, my oldest son, is going to be getting married in October.
Oh, wow.
So I'd really like him to, you know, think about a lot of things we're discussing today. So I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back. In the spring, children's thoughts turn to creating wonderful summer memories. That's the case with your children and the children at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. We care for children who have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. Help them have the summer every child dreams of having. Your donation of funds and gift cards to restaurants, ice cream shops, and sporting events will make that happen. We can also use gift cards from clothing stores to help us outfit our children for the summer. Call 898-5520 or online at acch4kids.org.
I'm Pastor Scott Tom, host of the Bible Answer program, No Other Doctrine. We have a college to train you for ministry. You can train at ccfcollege.com, but every 2 years, I personally train up 50 men. It is low cost and only one night a week. It starts in August. Men, get more info at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org or call 990-7588.
So, New Mexico, ready to get together again? Want to see the church in full celebration mode? Well, I have good news for you. Freedom Celebration is back, and we're ready to roll Friday, July 2nd with Bill Wickham.
This is Amazing Grace.
Oh, that's not all. It'll be quite a night, because you'll also be singing Under the Stars with Passion Worship.
Oh, no, you never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, out of the darkness, it's your glory.
It's a Freedom Celebration, 7 p.m., Friday, July 2nd, on the Calvary campus. With Phil Wickham, Passion, and Andrew Ripp. Food trucks and a full fireworks display. And, of course, it's free. It's about time to celebrate our freedom. FreedomABQ.org.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I appreciate Indigo Mortgage's owner, Ben Lucero's definition of integrity. Ben says, integrity are the decisions we make and the actions we take when nobody is watching but the Lord. Indigo Mortgage, 836-5700. That's 505-836-5700. Or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Kevin Miller is an assistant pastor at Calvary Church. He's one of the executives, has to make all the hard decisions about everything going on. And that's not always easy.
Nope.
You're hurting the cats, my friend.
I love it.
And Jen, his wife, is both mom and wife and mom and wife and mom. So, yeah, I have to say, I have to shout out to women because it's interesting in our culture how much women do.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the people teaching Sunday school are women.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not sure, you know, what the biblical model is, but we got to get the guys to step up, and especially when it comes to dating and relationships and start getting a perspective and some spiritual leadership. So, Jen, I'm going to ask you, first of all, to tell us how long you've been married. Mm-hmm. I never ask guys that. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why in just a second. But then I want you to offer to women, what should they be expecting in a man? What's the list? What's the criteria?
Sure. Well, Kevin and I have been married for almost 18 years. November will mark 18 years of marriage.
By the way, he did know that.
He did.
Said that earlier.
He says, yeah, 17, 18 in November. So good job.
Thank you, Jim, for noting that.
It's you know, obviously had lots of highs and lots of lows in marriage. But, you know, one thing that I've thought often when I think about women who want to be married or women who are married, whatever, it doesn't really matter, but I think sometimes we easily think that marriage is going to fix something in us. Mm. That marriage is going to be that answer we've been looking for. That marriage is going to be the thing that fills that loneliness. And I mean, sure, it's great to have a person to do life with. I love that, and I'm sad, especially for those people who have been waiting for that, and I don't understand why some are still waiting. I don't understand that. But I think sometimes we get it a little bit wrong, and we think that marriage is going to be this thing that all of a sudden we're no longer lonely because we have this person. But the truth is, marriage was not intended to fix us. Mm. Marriage does not complete us as people.
And you hear that verbiage all the time.
It's true.
Christians.
You complete me.
You complete,
right.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, I love you, but
you but
know
I
what I mean?
Complete
but you.
You
don't complete
yeah.
me.
Right.
And, I mean, sometimes we have to remind ourselves that it's God who fills us. And as cliche as that is to say, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking for that fulfillment in anyone else, you're not going to find it, and you're going to be let down.
Right.
I've let Kevin down. He's let me down. We don't complete one another. We work well together. I believe God's used our marriage. I believe he's using our family. I'm thankful for all of that. But marriage doesn't complete us. But what I would say to the women out there who are praying for that and longing for that, number one, don't stop. Don't stop praying. And number two, don't lower your standards the older
right.
you get, just because you think, oh, well, is this ever going to happen for me? I can't guarantee that that's going to happen for you. I'm not going to sit here today and say, if you just read your Bible enough and serve in the church enough and, you know, do all of that, that God's just going to bring that person your way. I don't know if he's called you to marriage or not.
You expressed in the first segment
mm-hmm.
some contentment where, okay, God, right before you went to camp and right before you met Kevin, God, I'm not looking for a date. I'm here to serve you. I want to bless these middle school kids, et cetera.
Mm.
And then God brought you Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a common thing. When you're not looking, God seems to be bringing, because it's almost like you are complete. You have a really strong relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I hear that from people. What's odd for me is I'm divorced. I already said that. And that is, for me, a major failure. I'm not sure I'll ever get over it.
Yeah.
You know, I think I want it to be something that God uses for good.
Yeah.
And I shared with you before we went on the air, I've had an unusual ministry opportunity with a number of men in encouraging them to stay in their marriages. They've been adulterers and other things, and I'm not in that position because I know anything about being married. So I find that odd that God, you know, throws me into that. But I really have a handle on what my responsibilities were and where I failed.
Mm.
And I don't like to see that repeated in other people. Like I mentioned, the couple in the restaurant. I think people should be laughing together.
Yeah.
And they should want to know about the other person and have conversation. But Kevin, you said also before we started, you've seen people in a group, families, everybody's on their cell phones.
Right.
So communication has really been inhibited a lot by some of this stuff.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I would say too, Jim, just maybe an encouraging word to you, in that idea that God seems to have brought a lot of guys into your life that you are helping them stay in their marriage. Just a quick word of encouragement to you. I recently, just about a week ago, received some really great marital and parenting advice from a guy who is not married or has kids.
Mm.
And so I just want you to know that just because you're not in that relationship doesn't mean God can't use you in their relationships.
Yeah.
So that was just on my heart for
well,
you.
Well, and so many times, like I've had recently, I had Toya Kaplan. She has a ministry called For the One, and she's putting on a Vulnerable No More event talking about human trafficking.
Yeah.
And she had some issues with somebody taking advantage of her when she was young. She had an amount of shame about that. And then all of a sudden she let that shame fall into God's hands. And so he's totally turned that away from shame and taken what she would have perceived as a weakness. And now it's his strength in her life.
That's good.
Yeah. And so many times that's true.
Yeah.
Well, and I think even on that topic of kids and dating and sexuality in our culture and that kind of thing. Maybe that, maybe there's even something here for the parents who are listening. Mm-hmm. You know, I think my own past, without going into a ton of detail, I had a rocky teenage life full of a lot of sexual sin, and I have a lot of regrets and even shame, that accompanies that and goes along with that. And it would be very easy for me if our kids are 14, 11, and 7, two girls and a boy, and if our kids ever got to a place where they were struggling in those arenas, it would be very easy for me to think, well, who am I to tell them what to do? Because I failed. So I guess I just got to kind of like let them do what they're going to do and just like love them. And no, the most loving thing I can do is say, I fell in that hole and I see you going that same way. And I love you way too much to let you go do the same thing that I did. And so I just think it's important. Maybe there's a parent listening who is dealing with shame, that is just cycling through their heads. And so if that's you and I'm speaking to you, you know, you just need to know that your kid needs your voice of love and truth in their life. And, God put them in your life, and he allowed you, even though he didn't cause you to go down that path that you went down, he allowed it. You made those choices. And so thank God you can learn from those and hopefully help prevent your kids from doing the same.
I really appreciate you encouraging people that way, because I think that's absolutely true. We don't let God forgive us.
Yeah.
Or actually, it's not up to God. God already forgives us.
Right.
We don't receive it.
Yeah, it's
you
true.
You know, he hands us this gift.
Right.
And we have this self-condemnation, which is a message that's not coming from God.
Right.
What you did when you were 16 or 18 is not what should define your life.
Exactly. Right.
You know, the whole concept of being born again and God using your weakness for his glory. I mean, all of these things are just fantastic. And every time I see a victory, I see somebody that was in sin. I see somebody that's asked for forgiveness for something that they've done. Every time, God puts those people in just amazing circumstances to help other people.
It's true.
Kevin, how as a husband and now a father, has your role in terms of spiritual leadership changed in the 18 years you've been together?
How has it not changed? You know, I think one thing that I think about regularly when it comes to leading my family kind of goes back to the thing that if you've been on an airplane any time in the last few decades, you've heard them say 100 times, and you've probably gotten to a place where you ignore their warnings. But they say, in case of a water landing, which is, by the way, a very simplified way to talk about a tragic, horrible thing.
Yeah.
A water evacuation. Sounds fun. There's a water slide. Anyway, they say, in case of a water evacuation, put your, or in case of cabin depressurization, you know, these oxygen masks will fall from the ceiling. And if you are traveling with a young child, they say, put your oxygen mask on first before you help them. And I remember years ago thinking, if I'm traveling with my kid and we're both struggling for air, I'm going to obviously try to help them first before I'm even thinking about myself. But then it clicked. Well, if I'm no longer breathing, I can't help them.
Right.
And so spiritually, it's the exact same. I, as selfish as it may sound, it's actually better for myself and my family if I'm spiritually putting my oxygen mask on first. If I'm not daily spending time in God's word and in prayer and cultivating a relationship with God, then I'm not going to be much help to my kids or to my wife. And so as backwards as that may sound, one way that I lead my family well is by taking care of myself well, spiritually speaking. So that has to be a priority. And I guess I'm speaking to men, but I'm also just kind of right now envisioning a single mom who's mm-hmm. got maybe a couple jobs, yeah. raising a few kids, is exhausted, just wants mm-hmm. to pass out when they get home from work, and then tries to sleep as long as they can before they gotta get up and go at it the next day. You know, it's about a relationship with Jesus. It's not about a length of time that you spend reading or praying. Do what you got to do, but just remember your spiritual health is so vital, not only to yourself, but to your kids.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that although the Bible says that physical health is not as important as spiritual health, you got to get out and move a little bit.
You do.
COVID has done so much to damage people in even interpersonal relationships.
Oh.
And so
it's
almost like we've got to be reminded, get out and take a walk.
Right.
Take your Bible with you or put headphones on and listen to the Bible being read to you. I mean, you can go on to Faith Comes by Hearing and listening to dramatized things of the Bible. I mean, there's just so many cool things that are out there for people today.
Right. You and I do that sometimes on a date.
Yes.
Take our Bible.
Yeah. We'll go read in the coffee shop.
Yep.
Yep.
I love
it. It's so good.
Yeah.
I love those moments.
Well, being married entails a lot. You've already talked about it a little bit. We haven't talked a lot about parenting yet. We've kind of alluded to you have three kids. We're going to come back and talk about how life as a wife changes when you're a mother and how life as a husband changes when you're a father.
Mm-hmm.
So
great.
Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things related to life and relationship with God. Life does not always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KLYT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. KLYT presents the Bible School of the Air with a new time. Each Saturday, starting at 12, KLYT will present through the Bible verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith, Skip Heitzig, and Chuck Missler, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We will continue rotating through the Old and New Testament. Drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KLYT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Saturdays at 12 on 88.3 FM.
Calvary Christian School is now accepting kindergarten through second grade student applications for the fall 21-22 school year. With a strong Christ-based foundation, Calvary Christian School desires to partner with families to grow children in the love of Christ, mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. The goal is for attendees to be the best taught and best loved students in Albuquerque. Handbook, calendar, and enrollment packet information are available at CalvaryChurchPreschool.com.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming on KLYT and ABQ Connect. Dave Slade and Associates, 342-8100. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates do business by the book. 342-8100 or on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Kevin and Jen Miller in studio, and it's interesting. I'm talking about Dave and Holly Slade because they sell houses, and I just had a conversation about how there's not very many houses for sale, and you both are experiencing that right now.
And they are our realtors.
So are they? Yeah. Oh, there you go. I didn't know that.
This segment is double sponsored by Dave and Holly Slade.
Highly recommend.
Yes.
Highly recommend.
Well, the funny thing is that I don't think I spent most of my career in banking, in mortgage banking and financing homes, and I've never seen a situation where we had interest rates near 3% and no homes for sale.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of like you got one thing without the other.
Yeah.
And, I don't know who's buying these homes. That's the fascinating thing. We have data come out about New Mexico that New Mexico's not growing. We have zero population growth. Well, I don't know. There was about 800 homes sold last month, so I don't know where those people are coming from.
Right.
But, I know our listeners will be praying for you guys to find a nice home. And if anybody can find you a nice one, it'll be Holly.
There you go.
Holly will do a good job. So let's talk now. Jen, I'm going to start with you about having children. So your wife.
It's rough.
Yeah.
They're listening. They're listening. Be careful.
Okay.
I have to tell you a quick story because I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but this was some years ago. I'm at the Village Inn restaurant.
Okay.
And I have five children I told you about. And I'm sitting next to, I don't have any children with me. I'm sitting there having coffee by myself. But there's a table not 5 feet away from me, all women. And they're all smashing their husbands because of their husbands will change diapers. They won't wake up and give their babies a bottle. And I was sitting there trying to read. And for 45 minutes, I'm hearing them just going off. So I finally stood up. And I walked over and I said, ladies, I feel terrible that your husbands have not been helping you, but I hope this is encouraging to you. You're looking at a man that if you want to race doing diaper pit stops, I can handle all of you because I said I've changed more diapers than any of you will ever change in your entire career.
Wow.
And it was true.
Goodness.
And they laughed. I wanted them to laugh. Yes, that was my whole thing. I just wanted them to be encouraged because, guys, if you're not changing your baby's diapers,
come on. That's right.
And by the way, guys, when your wife goes out for the night and leaves you with the kids, it's not called babysitting.
It's called
being a dad. Call it what it is.
That is hysterical. I love that.
True.
Jen, how has having children changed your marriage?
Oh, my goodness. Both. Obviously, there's been challenges, but there's been great growth, I think, because of our kids. Obviously, having kids causes you to rely on the Lord in ways you have never had to.
Right.
And then it also causes you to rely on your spouse in ways, too. And I feel like, Jim, like you were saying, I mean, I've seen that dynamic with friends of my own who have said, my husband won't even help change the diapers, or, hey, let me check and see if they're going to be willing to watch the kids, you know.
Babysit.
Yeah, babysit. And it breaks my heart because that has not been my experience, and I'm so thankful that that hasn't been my experience. In fact, Kevin, he's loved it when he gets nights with just the kids.
And also when I get nights without the kids.
Yes. But, you know, they kids have this incredible ability to, like I said, one, push you closer to the Lord. I mean, they do. They just, in their own little ways, they push you closer to the Lord. They really help you recognize how selfish you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are completely dependent on you, and you've got to lay yourself down. Like it's like a test of surrender.
Yeah.
almost. But I would say within marriage, you know, there have been times where Kevin and I have had to have these conversations where we go, okay, right now in this season of life, we're really good co-parents, you know, where we're parenting well, but our marriage is not well. Mm. You know, like we're doing good with the kids. We've got like a routine down with the kids, but we are not, you know, are not doing well. And so those have been really eye-opening, honest conversations that I feel like have only drawn us closer together once we have those conversations,
yeah.
You know. Oftentimes those come when you're like at your wit's end and, you know.
Okay, so I need to ask you,
yeah.
Do you need help from the community, your friends? Mm. Do you need to put the kids with somebody so you can go out on a date? Those are the kinds of things I want to know.
Oh, my gosh. Please leave your kids with somebody. Please date your husband. Mm. I am so sad for the friends who I've known who have never left their kids alone.
Right.
You know, even for a couple of hours to go have a date with their spouse, because just because you have kids, you have to work even harder. Once you have kids, you have to work even harder to maintain communication. And remember that if our marriage is not great, the kids are going to know it.
Right.
They're going to see it. They're going to feel it. But if our marriage is healthy and thriving and they're going to know that too.
Yeah.
And I want our kids to have a healthy mom and dad who they see us, you know, our kids will see us hug or kiss. And, you know, they told us a couple times, even though like sometimes they'll be like, that's gross. They come back and they say, you know what? I'm so glad that you guys will show love or you'll kiss each other because it helps them know that we're okay. Kevin and I are okay and they're okay.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something that is sad to me. and it hurts my heart to even tell you, but my youngest child now is almost 21. And so we were divorced 10 years ago. She was 11 years mm-hmm. old, and she's told me, I can remember when you and Mom were fighting. Mm-hmm. And that just breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. So I echo and ask people to listen, because, sure. you know, if you are fighting, you know, stop the fighting, go get some help.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we never did. Never got any help, never got any, you know, we had a few people speak into our life that really we weren't submitted to any kind of authority. We didn't, even though we were, you know, tied to this church mm-hmm. at Calvary Church, we didn't really do much in terms of, and I don't want to let anyone fail. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the way I feel about parenting. I look at married couples and I say, okay, God, as much as it's up to me, I'm not going to let them fail. I almost feel like a coach.
Yeah.
You know, we got to do everything we can do to try to not let them fail.
Yeah.
And but there is a community. Like, you both have family here, right?
Yeah.
But when you were in Nashville, you didn't have any. Didn't have family out mm-hmm. there except your church.
Right.
So I guess I'm wondering, was that dynamic different? You can get family to watch your kids now. Was it different out there?
Yeah, I mean, my mom moved out to Clarksville, Tennessee with us about a year or yeah. two into the church plant. So we did have her, but we also had a great network of friends, even when she wasn't available. So yeah, it's very important. The cool thing now is the season of life that our kids are in. They're old enough where we can leave them at home mm-hmm. and they do really well on their own while we go get dinner. In fact, it's gotten to the point now where they go, hey, are you guys going to go on a date anytime soon? Because could you go like soon? Because they enjoy
yeah.
just having the house and,
right.
and they do really well together. And it's something that we've prioritized for years. And it's something that I think a lot of couples, you can easily just get into a habit of mm-hmm. never doing that.
Right.
And that can be pretty unhealthy. And we have some friends of ours who talked to us on this topic one time, and I'll never forget one of the quotable quotes that he said was something to the effect of, love your kids enough to ditch them every once in a while. And of course, with a babysitter when needed, or if they're old enough on their own. But the idea being, Our kids, they're growing up in a flawed home. Yeah. We're not perfect parents. They're going to have memories just like your kids do of us arguing sure. over silly things or whatever. But they're also hopefully going to have great memories of a routine that we were in that hopefully will carry into their marriages mm-hmm. of moms and dads go out together. It's what they do. And our kids don't know anything different. Yeah. They just think, every parent, all parents, go out regularly and go have dinner and go to movies and hang out with each other. And we've made that a priority because we just, especially, you know, the days are coming when our kids will move out of the house and we want to still be in love with each other right. and have fun together.
Yeah, amen. But I have a sense that your kids also think that the fact their parents love each other and do things together and go out and all of those things is not only normal, but expected, yeah. and you're also with your family at church.
Uh-huh.
I found all kinds of excuses mm. because we were going to Arizona for basketball tournaments
sure.
and,
mm.
you know, going to Florida for cheerleading competitions, and we had all these excuses why we were missing church. Mm. And again, not legalistic, but just we should have been more committed mm. in the relationships, even their relationships in their, you know, children's ministry and other kinds of things because
yeah.
they were missed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have these conversations with them now. So I hope that they've learned, you know, the lesson from what I didn't do as a dad. Hey, we've got, I got a tough question for Kevin when we come back. You're a pastor of a large church, and I hope you're not going to be mad at me, but I'm asking you how ministry might get in the way of being a good husband.
All right, I'll study up over the break.
Because it takes a lot of time. We'll be back with Kevin and Jen Miller right after these messages.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now some people say that they don't believe in God because they can't see him. Is this a legitimate argument?
No, I don't think it is, Chris. Now, it does take faith to believe in God, but we see all sorts of evidence of him. We see the results of what he has done. We see many truths in the Bible verified by science and history, and thus have a good reason to have faith in the rest. Chris, it amuses me to see so many people believing in aliens. We've never seen an alien. We've searched the heavens with fine detail and can find no clue that anything is out there. But they'll believe in aliens before they believe in God. Life is so complex that it must have been created. And that's the Back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Here's Pastor Mike Fabares with your one-minute focal point.
Have you ever felt like you're being bombarded with conflicting Christian voices? I mean, people pointing to the same passage of Scripture, but somehow coming to completely different conclusions. All these instructors claim to be Christ's sheep, but we ought to be careful because Jesus warned that some of them might in fact be harmful and deceptive wolves. Unfortunately, making the distinction between what's biblically sound and what's not isn't as simple as we might hope. False teaching will almost always have plenty of truth mixed in, and that's why it makes it so insidious. So, learning how to be discerning without being incredulous or hypercritical, it's an essential Christian virtue. And that's why we need to be diligent to study God's Word. We need to know the truth so that we can discern it from error.
Want more? Join Pastor Mike Fabares each weekday on Focal Point to be equipped for life. Details at focalpointradio.org.
The Golden Rule of Leadership. This is Roger Patterson with the Minute of Vision for Life. Have you heard of the Golden Rule of Leadership? When it comes to leading teams, Coach Lou Holtz says, do right, do your best, and treat others as you want to be treated. In other words, as a leader, live out the Golden Rule. You know, it isn't just something we learn in grade school. These are actually Jesus' words. It says in Matthew 7:12, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. You know, I don't know if I've ever seen that sentence after the Golden Rule, but it declares that if you live this way, you're living out all that God was trying to convey as He declared His character through the law and as He forecasted His love through the prophets about the coming Messiah. I love how Jesus keeps it so simple. Let's do the same. If you want to prosper in leading a team, in your relationships and interactions with people, live out the Golden Rule.
You've been listening to Roger Patterson, author of A Minute of Vision for Men, a daily devotional available at visionforlife.org.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
How do you lead up effectively? Honor matters. Showing honor matters. If you don't feel a sense of honor for the person who is above you, they're going to sense it through you. If you're looking around going, I could do better than that, you know, I should be in that role. What you need to understand is that if you were supposed to be in that role, you would be in that role. You're not in that role because you're not yet supposed to be in that role. If you want one day to be over others, you need to learn to be under others and show honor. Show honor where you are. Now, you may say, well, you know, but my leader is not amazing. You're mixing respect and honor. When you remember that respect is earned, honor is given. Honor those in authority over us. We believe that they are there because they're supposed to be there, and we're going to serve them and help their mission be better.
That was Craig Groeschel with a KLYT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. I want to remind everybody that while many of us see signs of a return to normalcy, others around the globe continue to battle the pandemic. In Asia, a second COVID-19 wave is ravaging communities there in what is being called the tsunami of suffering. Gospel for Asia is doing what they can to ease the suffering, but support for their efforts is desperately needed. Pray about your involvement and log into gfa.org/coronavirus for regular updates and an opportunity to make a financial donation. That's gfa.org/coronavirus, 800-946-2742. Now we have the entire Miller family, Kevin and Jen Miller and their children, Emery, Adeline, and Haddon.
Say hi, everybody.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey, I know you guys were outside listening to Mom and Dad, and I thought it would be fun to have you in here. So it's a lot of fun.
To be honest.
And this is Emery, right?
This is Emery.
Hi, Emery. Emery, what did you think about your parents' comments so far this afternoon?
Very true. All of it's very true. They're
I don't know. They're just such amazing parents, and their marriage is such a like a example to what we should be expecting. So
I'll pay you later.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Now she's not old enough to drive a car, so I know that wasn't the motivation.
That's true. Almost though.
But yeah, maybe driver's ed.
Yep. In about a year.
Yeah. We've been driving in empty parking lots for the past few weeks.
And I remember that so affectionately. Mm-hmm. That was so much fun, teaching the kids how to drive. But, see, Haddon is the youngest, right? Hi, Haddon.
Hello.
So he's going to see his big sister driving the car, and he's going to want to do it, right?
You're going to want to drive?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, let's get a comment from Adeline. How are you, Adeline? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm good. It's good to be here. It's fun. Just like, I don't know, you never get to just go to a radio station and listen in. So it's fun, yeah.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate you listening and being here and encouraging your parents. Now, I've got a question that your kids are going to appreciate. I know that pastors are perfect husbands and perfect fathers.
As you guys
Really, I know that ministry, you know, the biblical adage that the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. There's more than any staff can ever do. How can that affect your marriage?
Yeah, great question. For anybody who doesn't know our story, mm-hmm. Jen and I met, of course, in ministry at a summer camp, but then I became a youth pastor shortly after we got married, and I did that for about 5 years. And then we moved to Tennessee and planted a church. And early on in church planting, I remember having to sit down, Jen and I, in our living room in Clarksville, Tennessee, and she looked at me with tears kind of welling up in her eyes, and she just said, Kevin, this is not working between us. That you're so busy. You're so focused on the church and all of the jobs that you have. And I'm grateful that you're trying to take care of us financially, but like this marriage, it's something has to change. And so it was a really good conversation, very eye-opening and enlightening and a good reminder, like something had to give before the marriage started to give. And, you know, so we've made a lot of sacrifices over the years, but I unfortunately have had very close friends who have allowed ministry to become a mistress in their marriage. And unfortunately, it's easier for that to happen than you might think, because ministry is a place where God has called us, equipped us, given us spiritual gifts, and we get to minister to people. And so all of it can be done. And you just keep going and keep adding and keep saying yes to everybody outside of the home, mm-hmm. without remembering that every time I say yes to someone else, I say no oftentimes to my family. Mm-hmm. And so what I've just had to learn over the years is that I have to be okay with letting some people down in protection of my family. And allowing the people, other people, I'm going to minister to people as much as I can, as I'm able with the resources and time that I have. But ultimately, I'm not their savior.
Right.
Yes. And so I have to remind them of that. I have to remind myself of that. And I have to really guard my time with my wife and with our kids.
So, Jen, this has a little bit to do with ministry yourself, because you love music. Mm-hmm. You've been singing with the worship team at Calvary Church.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sense that maybe your passion for music, I want to know how that blesses your family, but how it could also take away.
Well, everything that I hear becomes a song, usually.
That's true.
Do we have any other singers in the family, by the way?
I think Emery might be a singer.
There you go.
I don't know.
There
we'll
you go.
See. Who knows? We don't. I don't know.
They ask me to hum in church because I'm kind of like a distraction if I start singing.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jen. No, music is, I think, a big part of our family. We have music on often in our home and just, you know, filling the home with really worship music. And I think we're pretty intentional about even the kind of music that we play in our home. I want to make sure, again, it's one of those, like, I don't want to be legalistic, but I also know that music is very, you know, you get something in your head, then it's in your head, and then all of a sudden you're seeing lyrics that you're like, why am I singing this? You know, that's not going to be beneficial. So worship and music and have always been a big part. Oftentimes I think all of the kids know how to do vocal warm-ups in the car because as I would, you know, drive to, yep, as I would drive to church, that's what would be happening. So that's just what we do as a family sometimes. But yeah, music is super important, I think, to have going in your life.
Plans for more recording?
I mean, the hope is for more.
There will be more.
Yeah. There will be.
This season is particularly difficult as we're trying to just still get settled in Albuquerque, find a house, all of that. But one thing I'm praying, I don't even know if I've told you this, but one thing I'm praying about this season is that songs are birthed from the difficulty of this season. And I don't think Jen Miller music is done. There's more.
There will be more.
I love it. I'm blessed by it too, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Because I have no musical ability. My mom she doesn't teach anymore. I still have my mom, fortunately, and my dad, but my mom was a piano teacher and, you know, tried to get me to play the piano and I was too busy bouncing a ball. And I regret that. I mean, I think music and just having an experience. I know you two probably get the whole family out and do some hiking and enjoying beautiful New Mexico.
Yep.
And that's so important to experience all of it. That's why I love Brian Nixon so much.
Yeah.
Brian Nixon he appreciates art. He appreciates music.
Yeah.
He's on his mountain bike all the time or his road bike, and he's out looking at the trees in the park. I mean, you know, he just has a full experience with all of that.
That's good.
So here's a question for both of you. And I don't want the kids to be offended. You guys are going to grow up. Okay? We don't have much time.
Yep.
Kids are going to grow up. What does life look like when the kids are grown up? And what is your vision for you and Jen down the road?
I'll put it real quick. My dream, my hope, my prayer is that one day all of our adult kids would want to go on vacation with Jen and I. Like they want to bring their spouse and they want to bring their kids. And they want to be a part of our lives. That's my dream.
And we pay for all of it.
And we will. Adeline raises her fists in victory.
Yes.
I don't know. I kind of like they have jobs and they pay for mom and dad.
Oh, that would be good too. Yes, I like it.
There we go. Jen, similar vision for you? I mean, do you?
Yeah, I mean, it's Kevin and I serving the Lord together with kids who still love being around us. That is definitely the hope and goal for the future.
Yep. If my kids still love me and want to be around me when I'm an adult and they're adults, well, I am an adult.
When they're adults,
we've achieved it.
Yeah. One thing I'll offer you. I have five children. I have one in North Carolina. Actually, I have two. His wife, I consider her to be mine too. My oldest son is in San Diego. And then I have three of my kids here. And I'm going to get to be a grandfather
in
about 3 or 4 weeks. Ooh. And that's something I hadn't really thought about too much in depth. My parents advised me to buy my grandchildren the loudest toys possible just as payback.
We've received some of those gifts already for our children.
Have you?
From the grandparents.
That is so funny. Miller family.
Yes.
Thank you all for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.